Welcome to the MacCast. This is a podcast that strives to bring the church world and the art world at least a little bit closer together. My name is Matt Anderson, and I am so glad you are with us today. Now, for those of you out there who create or make things, and I've told a lot of my friends that you don't necessarily have to be an artist to enjoy this podcast, but if you do, if you do create, if you do make things, and if you do it well enough and you do it long enough, eventually someone will ask you a question like this. So where do your ideas come from? I actually had a friend ask me that very same question this week, and I actually wished I could have given him the answer I'm about to give you. I just had not really thought it through as much, because it really is a much better answer than I gave him. There are some things, to answer the question you didn't ask me, but there are some things that strike me as I'm just driving around, or I'm watching television, I'm reading a book, I'm just encountering life. But probably the best ideas come from really one of the best places possible. And if you're a creative, I'm thinking you might agree when I tell you. One of the great motivators is frustration. Yeah, sounds weird, doesn't it? It almost seems counterintuitive. Because on the surface, you might think that frustration is counterproductive to creativity. It would block creativity. It would sort of get in your head and mess up your flow. But I think the first time I ever read something along these lines was over 20 years ago, and it was from a book called Pure Desire by Ted Roberts. Here is what he wrote. Our frustrations come with meaning in them, not just mayhem. Besides that, God isn't going to do something great with someone who isn't frustrated. God-given frustration gives birth to a passion that can change things. If we want to understand our God-given calling, we must first look at our frustrations. What are we frustrated with that we know could be better? What bothers us about our present situation that doesn't just involve our comfort, but the needs of others? Once we answer those questions honestly, we start to catch sight of our God-given calling. Our frustrations can ignite our calling. I really like that last phrase. Our frustrations can ignite our calling. You know, there's an old saying that goes, necessity is the mother of all invention. Well, to me, I think you could replace the word necessity with frustration. Frustration can be the mother of invention. I mean, when we need something and we can't get it or we can't find a way to produce it, it brings about frustration. And when you think about it, frustration is actually at the heart of almost every great invention. This is from an older article from Fast Company from author Kahan Krippendorf. And it says, what do you do when you grow frustrated? Most of us will look for an alternative, and if we don't find one, we'll just accept the situation. But a few of us decide to do something. The technology that created Xerox, for example, was invented by a lawyer who grew sick of messy carbon copies. And if you're over the age of 50, you understand that reference. So he rented a room to experiment with alternatives. Similarly, it was Anita Roddick's burning concern for the world around her that propelled her to launch The Body Shop. It was the conflict between Russell Simmons' love of rap music, but frustrated by his inability to rap, that propelled him to launch Def Jam Records. And the article also quotes Thomas Edison, as once saying, discontent is the first necessity of progress. So if you're wondering what to write about, or what to paint about, or construct, or what to invent, begin with your frustrations. Now let me insert this here. I'm going to talk about this later. Frustrations are a good starting point, but it only works if we are solution-oriented. I mean, camping only on what ticks us off, really, in art, only states the obvious. Unless it isn't obvious. As I've said before, I think this is the worst kind of art. It's okay when art mirrors society, but to me, it needs to also rise above that and show an alternative. I mean, we have to allow those frustrations to sort of marinate in all the right godly juices so that we do more than complain, we actually create. I think there are few things in the art world worse than complaining art that just states what we already know. True, I think, creativity, it aims to do something higher than that. It becomes a true cause to rally around. It's an innovative product that fixes the problem. It lifts our eyes above where we think they should be, and we recognize loftier themes and goals. We have a different way of seeing a problem to give audiences a fuller picture of the complexities involved. But our frustrations, as Ted Roberts wrote, can ignite our calling. With this week's two underachievers. They will both take a crack at the pyramid of blame. Their celebrity partner will provide adversities and disappointments, but the contestant must assess the proper blame and offer the correct excuse. First up is Seth Treadwell from Olathe, Kansas. Seth, how do you feel about this final round?
I don't know, whatever.
Yep, he seems ready. To provide clues to our contestants for the final round is a British star of stage and screen, completely unknown to Americans because he only appears on PBS. Sir David Manfred. Sir David, oh, we're so thrilled you can be here.
Oh, thank you, John. It is such a delightful privilege to be on this inspirational program with his wonderful youngster.
Oh, gee, I sure hope you talk faster than that for the sake of the contestants.
Well, I'll try, John, but it would be very un-British.
All right. Seth, just a reminder, you get 6 correct responses in the time allowed, and you walk away with $25,000 and the chance to not be a productive member of society for a while longer. Sound good?
What? Dude, I don't know. I have a short attention span.
Oh, whoa there, Seth. Let's save the blaming for the game. Here we go. For $25,000, here is your first subject. Go.
The inability to establish quality relationships.
I wasn't hugged enough as a child.
I'm so sorry, sir, but your credit rating is under 500.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
We cannot consider you for a home loan at this time.
The system is rigged.
Assault and battery. animal cruelty.
Sniffed paint as a child, lived under power lines.
Antisocial behavior, violent felonies.
Well, it's the video game's fault.
Dissatisfaction with the church. Lack of prayer and Bible reading.
Religion was shoved down my throat.
I don't believe in God anymore.
My youth group was full of cliques.
Low grade point average. Chronic detention. Behavioral problems in the classroom.
Like my teacher didn't individualize her lesson around me to the detriment of the other students.
Lack of promotion. Constant career changes.
Not enough omega-3?
Lack of motivation. Listlessness.
Peanut allergies?
Sudden loss of hair. Paranoia. Insomnia.
I came from a broken home.
Oh, I am so sorry, Seth. We were looking for The Government Is After Me. Oh, tough one. Tough one there. You did everything you could, Sir David. But 5 out of 6 is not a bad score. Let's see how your opponent does. Come on over, Morgan. All right, Sir David will now be giving clues to Morgan Hanratty. Morgan, you saw how Seth did in his round. Do you think you can complete the pyramid of blame?
Maybe. I mean, is there a woman here that could give me clues instead? I mean, I feel pretty disadvantaged.
Oh, boy, I tell you, you all just can't turn it off, can you? Well, I think that's why you have a great chance. So, for $25,000 and continued slacking, here is your first subject. Go.
I was manipulated. I was stuck with dial-up and couldn't upgrade. Our outlets at home didn't have safety plugs.
Wait for the clue, Morgan.
The flu, the common cold, a fever.
I was vaccinated against my will.
A shyness, inability to connect in large groups, living in isolation.
I was spanked as a child.
Unable to maintain employment, repeated terminations.
Companies are afraid of people with gender studies degrees.
Frequent bankruptcies, loan defaults.
I can't pay my student loans?
A cycle of poverty.
My mom fed me too much gluten.
Despondency. Passive-aggressive behavior.
Like I was born a middle child?
A lack of physical activity and exercise. High blood pressure. Diabetes.
Female athletes don't make as much as the men do?
One more. Hurry.
Famine. Pestilence. War.
I don't know.
Every single problem in America.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm white?
Yes! Oh, wow, Morgan, you got off to a slow start, but you and Sir David pulled it out. You've just won $25,000. Isn't that exciting?
Well, I guess. I mean, I kind of deserved it anyway, right?
How can you argue with that? For Skip Flipper, this is John Waverly wishing you all a blameless week. See you next time on the Pyramid of Blame. So what is frustrating you right now? What is it that you want to try to fix? Not just complain about, but fix in some way. Now, you may not immediately know the answer to that, but that's okay. Because I believe the Lord may be in the frustration. He may be using that as an intention-getting device to lead you down a creative path of solution. Personally, though, this very podcast, this whole thing, this is a result of that. I mean, for the last 10-plus years, I've lived in that tension between the church and the art world. And I've sort of felt like a stranger in both lands. I felt like there had to be someone else like me out there. There are people with whom we share biblical values, but they often see us as misfits because we don't necessarily fit within church ministry. And then there are those who readily embrace our artistic gifts, but many of them do so without the same spiritual framework that we have. So thus, the MatCast was born. So all I'm saying is, start with your frustrations, because it may just be more than your own bothersome tendencies. There may be something planted there by the Lord that, if you will cultivate it the right scriptural way, can lead to long-lasting change. Something can be made that has never been made before, that needs to be made. So if you're looking for a fountain of creative inspiration, maybe you should actually start with your frustrations. So let's look at our frustrations from a scriptural perspective for just a moment, because there's a right and a wrong way to deal with our frustrations. Because if we don't handle them right, we're going to really follow the path of King Saul. And I want to highlight the actions of both King Saul and then later King David, but earlier he was more just a servant to Saul. When Saul was first anointed to be king by Samuel, the great prophet, Israel wasn't exactly in the best of situations. And here's what happened the day he was anointed. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 10. It says, "Then Samuel sent the people home again. When Saul returned to his home at Gibeah, a group of men whose hearts God had touched went with him. But there were some scoundrels who complained, 'How can this man save us?' And they scorned him and refused to bring him gifts. But Saul ignored them." And I think Saul always had to deal with insecurity in a lot of ways. He was seemingly always uncomfortable in the role as king. And when you hear things like that around you, it's frustrating. And I think the difference is Saul, when he had frustration, he would turn it inward. And that's where it would stay. And he would kind of become this volcano, which could blow at any moment. And because that frustration, when it just gets turned inward, it does no good. And it eventually spews outward and lashes out at others. So fast forward now to Saul, later leading the children of Israel against the giant Goliath, did successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, that's Goliath, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: "Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. "What's this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands? Next, they'll be making him their king." Here's verse 9. "So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David." The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp, as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. There's a right way and a wrong way to deal with our frustration. And what Saul did with his frustration was he turned it inward. And rather than seeing David as the blessing from God that he was, he saw him as a threat. His frustration went internal and it never went anywhere from there. And folks, that's when it gets really ugly. That's when you get that self-servicing kind of art that I was talking about earlier. Those are folks who have turned their frustration inward and it's gone nowhere else. And then what eventually happens is it does spew outward. It lashes out. And that's what Saul did. Saul, in his jealousy with this young kid who had no intentions of taking his job, decided to play dodge spear with him and was literally hurling spears at this kid. And scripture tells us that he escaped him twice. So David was, you could say, a bit frustrated. Talk about workplace violence. David had frustrations with Saul because he could turn on a dime. And there were days that Saul was very accommodating. And then there were days that he was downright homicidal. And this is what David had been placed in. And I'm sure he was frustrated not knowing which king he was going to deal with on any particular day. But here's what David did. He took that frustration and he turned it to God and outward through his artistic gifts, and he wrote music. In fact, scripture tells us that often when he would play his harp, it would actually kind of soothe the savage beast that was Saul. It was one of the few times in Saul's life that he was sort of at rest internally. So David used that frustration that he was in not to rebel, not to strike back even, though who could blame him? But he knew what the Lord had called him to do. So he used it creatively to do something for Saul. He went into problem-solving mode with his frustration. In other words, it benefited not just himself. It benefited Saul and therefore the entire kingdom. Because when the king's happy, everybody's happy. So what are we doing with our frustrations? You know, there's a lot to be frustrated about right now, especially if you watch the news for 0.6 seconds. And we might be getting frustrated about the wrong things. What I would ask you to do is maybe back away from social media and 24-hour cable news networks for a little bit and just come back into the Lord's presence, because there are deeper things than just these day-by-day situations. Now, again, there might be something that is happening in our current world that God is speaking specifically to you, and he wants you to be an agent of change through it. If so, go into it. Just don't turn it in yourself and keep it there, because it's just going to make you one of those really ugly people that nobody wants to hear or talk to. And your art will mean nothing. It will be meaningless. It will have no legacy to it. But place yourself in the Lord's presence and sort of detox from all the media and all the screen time and say, God, what about your heart is not happening in our world? What is hurting the kingdom of God right now? Lord, what frustrates you? Because if us and God are walking the same path, what frustrates him will also frustrate us. So some of this comes out of that relationship and fellowship we have with Jesus. Because we love the things he loves and we oppose the things that he opposes. And so it won't be difficult to know the difference between what the world is frustrated by and what the Lord is frustrated by. And it's the latter that I want to invest my time in. So whatever that is, if you already have it, if you know what it is, okay, great. Now take it to the Lord and say, what do I do with this? Help me, Lord, with solutions. I want to be a part of the solution and not the problem. I don't want to be just one more person complaining like everybody else is. Give me, Lord, a perspective. Show me some side of this that hasn't been seen. Maybe there literally is something I can make which will better humanity and society. And then I can bring the Lord glory because I had a hand in that. Whatever it is, don't be afraid of it. If it comes from the Lord, remember that, let it ignite your calling and step into it, because the same God who awakened you to it will give you the power and creativity to go through it. Well, we appreciate you being a part of the MacCast. Our music is by Sound of Fusion. We hope to see you again soon, and this has been a production of Monumental Ministries. If you would like more info on our resources and our books, head to mattministry.com. Hey, thanks for having me over. I had a wonderful time.